Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gunfire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners. And it was a really, really busy week last week. A little later on in the show, we're going to have two lawyers coming in to talk about that landmark Maryland case that just may change the deck in New Jersey for concealed carry.
I hope,
yeah.
Speaking of lawyers, 2 days from now, this Wednesday, Scott Bach will be speaking at Gunfire headquarters in Belleville.
Yes, he will.
For the New Jersey Second Amendment Society, he's going to be the last speaker for follow-up. I think it's Wednesday, March 14th at 7:30 p.m. in Belleville.
So that's Scott at will 75 be Rutgers Street in Belleville at the Gunfire main campus.
You know, I just want to people have compared me to Rush Limbaugh, which I think is funny. So I just want to go on record and call Sandy a slut today and see if we lose any of our sponsors. Okay?
I think we gained two is what.
You know, here's a really great thing to talk about. Bloomfield, New Jersey, Boy Scout Troop 22 has allowed Gun for Hire to be a sponsor for their troop.
You've got to be kidding.
They approached me. We had T-shirts, white T-shirts printed up, 150 of them for a fundraiser with the Gun for Hire logo on the back. Now, we've been knocked down numerous times before, Sandy, because, our shirts are banned in Six Flags. Our shirts are banned in Disney.
The logo and of yours is just deadly.
The scouts approached me, and they were like, would you be a sponsor? I'm like, yeah, but when you pass it through your people, they're not going to accept it. Lo and behold, I got to give them it. They had the balls. They came back 3 days later. They said, nope, you're allowed. You can be a sponsor. Cut us a check.
Oh my God.
Them a check. They dropped off a bunch of shirts here. They're white shirts with black ink. They're beautiful. So Troop 22 in Bloomfield, my hat's off to them. I'm going to make another donation, too, because they made me so happy that they're politically incorrect and joining the fight.
Could this mean that the tide is actually turning toward gun owners in New Jersey?
Well, I see it by the amount of people taking classes.
It's amazing,
it's increased
it?
Dramatically how many people want to learn how to shoot guns and protect themselves and get ready for the coming problems that we see.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Well, a great story to talk about now. A couple of days ago in the mall, okay?
We've been saying it for a very long time. Okay, there was a shooting, and we've got Officer Joe Senti here.
Joe's our chief instructor for weapons and tactics.
And he's also the head of the active shooter for civilians seminar.
In our classes, he teaches those classes as well as simmunitions. Joe, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Joe, what's your take on what happened at the Woodbridge Center?
Well, as predicted, just talking about it 2 days ago.
Yeah, no surprise, right?
That a mall shooting was definitely going to happen. And it happened in New Jersey, of course, the state where you can't carry guns, unless you're a cop. Fortunately enough, that night, what happened was it was a shoplifter who went in there, and he got caught. Mall security cornered him. He was attempting to leave. Mall security chased him down. And as they cornered him, he took a civilian hostage, put a knife right to the girl's throat.
So he went from shoplifter to hostage taker.
After that,
amazing how quick it happens, isn't it?
Oh, it's just
But you want to talk about
seconds.
Yellow journalism? NewJersey.com headline says, alleged shoplifter killed by off-duty police officer.
Yeah, they all
okay?
do. CBS reported the same thing.
Okay?
NBC reported the same thing. They crap all over the cop.
The minute he took the knife out, now it's a deadly weapon.
Yes.
The minute he put it to an innocent
Absolutely.
Person's neck, Joe,
Absolutely.
What are the rules of engagement after that?
Deadly force is authorized.
Deadly force is authorized, shitbags.
Even in New Jersey.
Hear that?
Right. Right. But what is amazing is how the press treated this thing. There's a couple of points in the story that I was looking at the NBC story just before, and a couple of points that really stuck in my mind. Number one is how quickly this crime escalated. Number two, how there just happened to be, thank God, an off-duty Woodbridge cop.
He might have been working overtime, right?
I think he was on a side job. He was actually in uniform.
Right.
He was
right.
in uniform working a security detail.
Yeah.
They have a small police department, like a little substation.
Satellite office there.
Yeah, in the mall. So go ahead, Sandy. I'm sorry, but I'd like to interrupt you.
And the third part was just that as the incident started taking place, and I want to get to this as soon as we come back from the break, is they literally closed that wing off with gates, trapping everybody who was in that particular wing inside the wing with the active shooter.
How stressful is that?
Thank you very much.
You know? To seal it off, yep.
Yeah, so no. It's in an act to do that, I think that's something we really got to talk to people about, because the awareness program that you guys do over at Gun for Hire is another issue that if
Correct.
These people aren't aware, they don't know how to get out.
See, I would have two options there. I either have to find two people or somebody my size to use as a shield.
We'll be right back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always. Hit it!
The fastest growing Second Amendment broadcast in the nation, Anthony, for 41 weeks running.
That's one more than 40.
That's one more than nice. 40. Yes, it is.
You know, Joe runs a couple of high-level classes here. Again, we were the first civilian school to offer force-on-force training. We had Joe on earlier when Gunfire Radio, show two or three.
Right.
Because it was because of him that we got simunitions approval. But we have SIMS courses here, and we have civilian response to active shooter classes, as well as high-level, all our classes, urban pistol, urban shotgun. But, Joe, we're in New Jersey. We can't carry. What do you go over when you do? By the way, we're doing an active shooter class in April, April 14th and April 21st. It's 2 days, Sandy. And we run simunitions classes all through every month, nights, days, and weekends.
And you teach that specifically of what to do when something like this hits the fan Woodbridge.
We teach both. We teach if you had the weapon, if you're outside of New Jersey, or like Woodbridge, we definitely would teach both.
Yeah,
so what is some of the stuff you cover, Joe? Because I wasn't in on the last two-day class. I had other stuff going on.
We do first day we do the classroom part, but we teach everybody. Let's talk about what we can do in New Jersey.
Okay.
But these people, when they got cornered in there, they're going to probably have three choices. One, if they need to find an exit to get out if they can. That might not always be an option for them. So they might have to hunker down or lock down or barricade themselves where they are. What I tell them to do is get themselves in a room and start piling chairs, desks, anything they can against the door to prevent the active shooter or person doing harm to get to them. I definitely recommend that whatever they can get their hands on has to be put against that door. And I tell them for this reason, the police are coming. The active shooter policy is one of the most aggressive policies in the whole country for the state of New Jersey for law enforcement. They are told when they get on scene, they're coming. One, two guys show up, it doesn't matter. They're going to progress themselves to the active shooter. So the civilian must buy time for the police to get to them. And I tell them to barricade themselves, do all they can to stop that door from being open and letting that bad person in.
And we've seen that this can take sometimes 15, sometimes 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Of response, absolutely. More.
Now, I'm in a mall, Joe. What would you recommend if I'm in Sears, you know, and I'm not in the exercise equipment area, obviously. I'm in a clothing equipment area or something. What do I do, Joe? I'm in Sears. Pang, pang, pang. People running, people screaming. I try to get out. It's a lockdown. I can't go anywhere. What would you recommend? Just Fine. Try to hide something behind something?
I'm going to say get to a room and barricade yourselves because you got to start buying time.
So like a storeroom,
right,
you look for.
Room.
Would you look for the exit signs too or wherever?
If you can. But if you're in a full lockdown and you just can't get out for whatever reason, you got to try to find a room because as we learned, unfortunately, with Columbine, the people had hit in a library, it was unsuccessful.
Yeah.
They were obviously murdered where
now,
they were.
Now, Joe, I'm hiding and you guys come in. What's the best thing I can do to convince you that I'm not one of the shooters or
hands,
part of it?
Hands up as high as they can be. Hands spread out and listen and obey every command that the person.
Like, don't try to explain. I was just do what you say.
Just do what
get down on the ground.
You.
Let you cuff me or whatever, because absolutely. I'm just wasting time if I try to argue with you and convince you I'm not the bad guy.
Absolutely.
You'll unsort that later.
Absolutely.
Right?
Everybody in an active shooter situation, everybody's getting handcuffed, zip tied. It is what we're going to do until we figure out what happened there. And then the last resort, of course, is you're going to have two choices. If you have to meet the active shooter, you could sit there and get murdered, or you can fight back.
Okay.
It's one of the two. And unfortunately, at Virginia Tech, out of all those students that were massacred that day, all the reports I read, there's only one documented person actually tried to fight back. An ROTC student.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Charged
right.
back.
Right.
And tried to fight back. And he actually died at the feet of the active shooter that day. He actually died.
But at least he died fighting.
He died fighting. But now what if five or six of them all charge at the
exactly.
same time?
Sure. Exactly.
It's a totally different outcome there.
Sure.
Correct.
I think that's one of the big things is that so much is being taught about just give in, just give them what they say to give you, give over, and it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be just fine. That's not the case, right?
Absolutely not. Do the exact opposite. When you got an active shooter in there, you hear multiple shots going off. You know what he's there doing. You hear multiple shots going off, this is not
a
gangbanger.
Right. Yeah.
He's there for a specific reason to kill people.
Now, right away, all these comments on NJ.com and NBC.com, they're attacking the cop for what he did. I went on NewJersey.com and I posted, I was like, bravo to the police officer and the victim. I hope they're okay. And by the way, nice shooting, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just the way I look at it. He put a knife to somebody's throat and the cop was accurate enough to shoot him to kill him. Now, everybody's going to come in, the civil cases and, you know, suspend it without pay and the whole bit. I mean, it's a horrible situation. That cop didn't wake up that day saying, I'm going to go shoot somebody in the
exactly,
mall. He's just
right.
doing his freaking job to pay
absolutely.
His bills.
Yeah.
And some shitbag goes from shoplifting. Well, that's what he was shoplifting, and puts a knife
allegedly.
To someone's throat. I mean, what do you do if your knife's put to your throat? I mean, Joe, when you run the Sims classes, no one ever acts the way they think they're going to act, correct?
Absolutely not. When you run Sims, it's the ultimate test. It's the ultimate test for the civilian or law enforcement or military person that doesn't have access to, you know, real-world scenarios. When we put them in the simunitions, it's just they fall apart.
You know, when we come back, I really want to talk a lot about what we can actually do as individuals. Some of the stuff that you actually teach in the program, maybe we can just cover just to give some tips to the listeners.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's a lot. We've said it. This spring and this summer is going to be pretty nasty.
Absolutely.
You know, George Soros is out there predicting it. If you ask me, I think he's orchestrating.
Worst crime summer probably in 10 years.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappin.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Nappin, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Now, here's what you do. Take a big bucket of black paint, find a spot in front of your house about 10 feet high, about 20 feet wide, and paint in big letters U-G-L-Y, ugly. Now, why would you do that? It's stupid, but that's what some people have with their garage door. It's like a big, ugly billboard in front of their house. Now take a look at yours. If those four letters come to mind, then you have an ugly garage door. Solve it by calling Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Buy-Right Overhead Doors is in the business of installing beautiful custom garage doors and helping homeowners end their ugly garage door problems. Just by logging on to buyrightohd.com, you can upload a picture of your garage door so you can see what the right door can do for you. Buy-Right Overhead Doors, expert in all garage door problems, from fixing and installing new openers to even repairing the woodworking around your existing garage door. Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Remove that big black billboard that says ugly in front of your home. 877-711-6100 or visit buyrightohd.com.
You're listening to the soon-to-be-released Heart of America by Memphis recording star Jerry Alvin Dean, written by Jeff Saxon, a Jersey boy, and produced by John Allen and Richard Berardi, also of Jersey. All regular listeners to Gun for Hire Radio, which says to me, even famous people have no lives. We rise to our best for fellow man and star. Broadcasting truth from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the great state of New Jersey. So, Joe, tell us, I'm in a mall. I'm locked now behind the lockdown, which happens to be gates locking me in right next to the active shooter. What are some of the things I can do to, take cover? What's the difference between, let's say, cover and concealment?
Well, cover would be anything that stops any of the type of bullets or whatever the weapon is being shot or thrown at the person, the innocent person. Concealment would be you hiding behind a coat rack or something, or a dresser rack or whatever they got there. That would definitely be the two major different things. You know, to talk about it, though, if you're there and you have to confront him, you have to get creative. And, I mean, those racks, you know, you dump those claws off those racks and you charge at him with those racks. You take your keys, you put them in your hand, you attack his eyes, you take a pen out of your pocket, that becomes a weapon for you.
Right.
All these different things that you have to become creative with to try to defend yourself because, you know, make no mistake about it, you fight to the death.
Yeah, pepper spray, mace, if you're carrying stuff like that, no matter what you can get your hands
anything
on.
Anything possible. I mean, the active shooter at the congresswoman in Arizona, he was actually that got taken down by a lady with a 10-pound pocketbook.
Yeah, 72-year-old lady with a 10-pound pocketbook. Yeah, just beat the crap out of him.
You know, we say it all the time. It the women usually step up to the plate because they live in that life. They live in that mindset of survival.
Yeah, especially if they're mothers. It's a very interesting thing. Something happens in the mindset of a woman when she becomes a mother. She gets extremely protective over everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, as we were talking in a break, if they could find an exit, I mean, that's the best way to go.
Yeah.
All the back of the stores usually lead to some type of shared joint exit way that leads out of the building somehow.
So the best way is just go through whatever store you're standing next to the gap. You run through the gap to the back of the store out and get the hell out.
Absolutely. Beeline for the back and just bail out the back of the store any way you possibly can.
You know what else is interesting, Joe? I was watching interviews last night. This happens 99% of the time. People say, I didn't know it was gunshot. Because in the movies, people think they know what gunshots sound like.
Because in the movies, it sounds
In the movies, it's a huge bang. But in real life, it's just pop, 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 pop.
Right.
And they're in an out-of-body experience, normalcy bias. They're not sure what's going on. But, Joe, what else do you cover, like in the active shooter in Sims
and
that equates
to? Getting to that, though, in a state like New Jersey, where gunfire is only heard in Newark and Jersey City, familiarizing yourself with what goes on in the range, and it's very different inside an indoor range than it is on the outside.
Yes, it's very loud on indoor range. Outdoor range, it's not as loud.
You know, in our active shooter program, the first day is just all classroom because I gotta get the guys and the girls that take it into the mental mindset of what they're going to be in the middle of.
Yeah.
Situational awareness, looking around, you know, looking for people, you know, wearing odd clothes at different times of years. And you got to remember, me and Anthony talk about it greatly. Mumbai was definitely a test run for the United States
as
an active shooter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And put nine guys with AK-47s in different malls,
Right.
All right. At all different times, the police department's got problems.
And like you said, if you start hearing multiple shots, you know something's that person's in there on a killing spree.
Something's going on, a killing spree. Go the opposite direction if you can.
Yeah.
And if you get trapped in that little bubble, like we said, I mean, they have to buy that time. That's what we teach them in our active shooter class. What we do is the second day of the class, we bring them in and they do simunitions and nothing but simunitions. And we bring them to a 42,000 square foot office building.
We have a facility, 42,000 square foot facility that Joe and the guys kicked their asses in active shooter.
Nice. So you're popping in and out of the doorways and you're really
everywhere.
Making it real.
They got the whole building to use, which would be in real life, would probably be very similar. And we have a running gun battle in a 42,000 square foot facility. And I tell the students their goal is to, if they can, neutralize, but their goal is to get away and try to buy as much time as possible for help to get there.
Now, one of the things that I would like for everybody listening to understand is the guy who's talking to us right now is a guy who's actually seen it. He's seen it both as a police officer and as a military enforcer.
In Afghanistan.
So, you know, this is not something that, you know, he read a book and, you know, he's doing a little seminar on this. This is something that he's speaking from absolute experience with.
To my knowledge, I don't want to quote it, but to my knowledge, myself and the other two guys that helped me, you know, write the policy, or actually all of us helped write the policy together, we actually taught the first ever active shooter training class to police recruits in the whole state of New Jersey.
Wow.
At Essex County Police Academy.
So we're the real deal here.
You've got this. When is it coming up, John?
April 14th and 21st. Belleville's the first day. 2 days, 8 hours long, civilian response to an active shooter. And then we have Sims in Belleville in March and April. We have day and night classes on the Gun for Hire calendar.
It's all on the website.
Yes, it's all on the Gun for Hire website. You want to come get your ass kicked with Sims. It's a real eye-opener.
Come try it out.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
With over 25 years expert knowledge and experience to help you select the perfect firearm, The Bullet Hole has one of the largest firearm selections in the New York metro area, with over 300 handguns in stock. You'll find all the major brands, including Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Sig Sauer, and Springfield Armory. And if you're looking for a hunting or tactical rifle or shotgun, they have an extensive inventory of top brands like Benelli, Bushmaster, Remington, and a full line of police equipment and shooting accessories. And the best part is, you can shoot there too. The Bullet Hole has a 10-port, state-of-the-art, climate-controlled indoor range and is the only indoor range in the New York metro area that can handle anything from handgun to high-powered rifle. The range is bright, clean, and safe with full-time, helpful, certified range safety officers and an air scrubber filtration system, like breathing mountain fresh air, and a large selection of range ammo at really great prices. There's even a full-time gunsmith on staff, and you can even get your New Jersey or Pennsylvania hunting licenses. The Bullet Hole is on Rutgers Street, across from the main Gun for Hire campus, less than 10 miles from Manhattan. And if you're a law enforcement officer or armed security guard and need to qualify, just drop by any Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. No appointment necessary. Find out more on the web at bulletholenj.com or just follow the link from the gunforhireradio.com resource page. The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. Come see Manny, Jen, or Jennifer and tell them you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio. Motorcycle Mall is the premier motorcycle and power sports dealership on the East Coast. Family owned and operated in Belleville, New Jersey for the last 35 years. They sell 14 brands of motorcycles, scooters, power sports vehicles, snowblowers, generators, and much more. This month, Motorcycle Mall will be moving to a brand new two-story, 108,000 square feet facility and needs to sell its entire inventory. Visit them today to take advantage of their moving sale for unbelievable sales. Their loss is your gain. Starting in April, Motorcycle Mall will be located at 655 Washington Avenue, just 1 mile from their current location. For additional details and information on the moving sale and April's grand opening event, visit motorcyclemall.com or their Facebook page.
think we should be reading it, send it to talkback@gunforhireradio.com or post it on our Facebook page.
Real quick, while Scott and Dan Schmutter are getting set up in the studio, one of our listeners, Paul M., he flew in and out of Newark with guns, and he used Vista Parking, of course, so we're always pitching VistaParking.com, which is a great supporter. And Tom has been averaging 3 or 4 emails a week from listeners and supporters who've been using his service, so thank you so much for that.
Nice. Please make sure to email all of our supporters.
Please do. Paul had a funny one. The state police just had the pistol permits reprinted, you guys. I don't know if you guys knew that. And the checkbox is on the left. Reason why you want a new permit, you know, duplicate, lost, change of address. They had them all reprinted because there's a fourth box now. Change of sex.
Come on.
Honest to
God. Seriously?
The pistol permits now have a fourth box that says change of sex.
Great. That's good.
Okay. Isn't that great?
That's good. I can check that now.
Isn't that great? What a society we live in.
Change of sex from not getting any to getting any?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, all right.
So, again, Gun for Hire, all-star lineup here. We have Scott Bach.
Yes, we do. Two of our top three attorneys are here.
If you have it, it's true. If you have not voted, Scott Bach, BachBio.com. He's up for a re-election with the NRA board.
BachBio.com. Scott, that sounds like some sort of a disease-carrying website.
And Dan Schmutter, who's handling our one gun a month case and about 8 other cases. Dan Schmutter's with a new firm. I don't know, Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, Smith, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young,
I think. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe?
Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Oh, yes, Dan, what's your firm now?
Greenbaum, Rose, Smith, and Davis.
See?
That's
what I said.
There it is.
Okay.
It's always, it's never like short names.
No, it's never like white names. And white or something, right?
Welcome, guys.
So, guys, welcome. Let's talk about this Maryland case first. Sandy, what do you got any info on that? I'm taking a nap.
That was Woollard?
I've been saying Sheridan.
Woollard versus Sheridan.
So we have a Bush-appointed judge, right, Dan? Am I correct? He was a Bush-appointed judge.
Yes, he was, which gets right back to what Scott has always been saying. The presidential election determines more than just the guy in the White House.
Well, you better believe it. I mean, just to remind everybody, when Clinton was in the White House, he basically gutted the Justice Department and stacked it with his own guys from top to bottom, and we are still dealing with the fallout from that. And unfortunately,
didn't do anything to change it.
He did not do the same thing, and
right.
So we are
he
still...
He ranched a lot.
We are still stuck with guys like Judge Off the Walls and his insane decision on right to carry.
So, Dan, tell us, what does this do for us, and what was the decision? Give us a brief overview.
The Woollard case was a challenge to the May issue carry law in the state of Maryland. Maryland has a law that is similar in important respects to New Jersey's law, in that it requires that the applicant for a carry permit demonstrate some sort of need or some sort of justification for the issuance of the permit. In New Jersey, the New Jersey standard is a justifiable need, and that's defined in the law. The standard in Maryland is good and substantial reason. So, if you want to carry a permit in Maryland, prior to this decision, you had to demonstrate a good and substantial reason for obtaining a permit. And
like a justifiable need in New Jersey,
yeah,
similar.
It is very similar, which is why. This case has very important implications for New Jersey and other May issue states.
We don't care about the other states. Tell us how it handles against New Jersey, please.
Well, our listeners may care.
Too bad.
Well, let me just tell you a little bit about what's important about this decision. It's actually very unique in certain respects. First of all, it's the first decision to strike down a state law on Second Amendment grounds. The Second Amendment victories we've seen so far, Heller, McDonald, Izell, those all attacked municipal ordinances. So this is the first state law that's been stricken on Second Amendment grounds, so that's fairly significant. The other important thing about this case is it recognizes that the Second Amendment applies outside the home. One of the problems that we've seen in a lot of the post-Heller, post-McDonald cases is that because the facts of Heller only dealt with the possession of a handgun inside the home, judges are very quick to conclude that the holding of Heller and the Second Amendment only applies inside the home. And that's a real problem because a real and thorough reading of Heller makes it pretty clear that the Supreme Court did not intend to limit the scope of the Second Amendment to the home, but because those were the facts, judges are very quick and very interested in limiting it to that situation. So it's very hard to get these judges to understand that the Second Amendment is not just limited to your house, but really anywhere where you might have the need for self-defense.
Oh, they understand it all right. They just have another agenda.
Yes. Well, when we come back, we're going to get into that.
You mean the founding fathers didn't require the militia to assemble in your living room? We'll be back. We the people, you and I. For the first time ever, you can get the very same extreme performance gun care system used by U.S. Special Forces, the FBI, Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers. Their guns need to work all the time, no exception. That's why this very special formula was created. And this very same formula is being made available to you. So now, you can get up to 10 times more rounds down range between cleaning and ultra-reliable lubrication in any condition, from blistering desert heat to bone-cracking Arctic tundra. For a very limited time, you can get this amazing gun care system at a ridiculous special introductory price of less than $15 delivered right to your door. Use promotion code G1, that's GOLF1, when you call to order toll-free at 866-NRA-GUN-1. That's 866-NRA-GUN and the number 1. You can find out more at nragguncare.com. Freedom Energy is a leader in commercial solar energy. Not only does solar make good economical and environmental sense, which means you not only can get off the grid and make your own free energy, but you can actually put cash in your pocket at the same time. Self-sustaining solar also makes patriotic sense. Since our nation's enemies are also our energy masters, every time you flip on a switch, you're buying an IED or AK for a jihadi terrorist. If you own a commercial building, you could be tightening the noose around the necks of our enemies while at the same time enjoying the benefit of free electric. Doesn't get any better than that. And even if you don't have cash in the bank, Ron has financing available. He's even got a group of investors who will foot the entire bill, then pay you cash to rent your roof and give you access to electric at half of what you're paying now. Plus, if the power goes down for any reason, you'll still be up and running. Building owners, call Ron Sousa directly today at 973-265-2900.
Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick. But just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees. Order 3 and get shipping free. Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
And we're back with two of our favorite attorneys out of three. Nappin's back on the milk carton.
We have to go to New Hampshire if we want to tackle him. You know
yes,
that.
Yes, that's true. He hides up there. I don't know where he's shooting cannons in his backyard or
Please,
something.
Please, the guy shot his wife accidentally with
that.
A cannon in the Midwest or something somewhere.
No, you know, we have in California on the Mexican border.
Yeah, I know. Well, we have a First Steps cannon class here. He should have taken it. happened to walk in front of the line of fire.
Yeah, well, they
so
were...
she broke the golden rule of cannon shooting. Don't sweep yourself in front of the muzzle of a cannon. And what a picture. What a sight that must have been.
It took out the mobile home, so.
Anyway.
Getting back.
So Dan, keep talking and tell us what this, everybody's freaking out. They want to know what this means for New Jersey. So talk to us, and what does it mean in the future and now?
Well, in the short run, it doesn't mean anything specific for New Jersey because this is simply the decision of one federal district court in Maryland.
It's a lower court to overturn, right?
Correct. This is the lowest level court in the federal system. It's going to be appealed to a court of appeals, which is the middle-level court. Perhaps it might get to the Supreme Court, but bear in mind, there are 8 or 9 at least other similar cases going on around the country. There are several in Illinois. There's one in New York. Of course, there's the New Jersey case, the Pizzotoski case that has now been brought to the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. There's one in D.C. And there's one in California. So there are a lot of very similar cases working their way through the federal system. This is the first one that has actually come out in favor of the Second Amendment. rights, which is very important, because if you want to get a case like this to the Supreme Court, it's actually very important that courts decide them differently. That's one of the critical things the Supreme Court looks for. They want to see courts coming out different ways, because when it comes to constitutional rights, it's important for the Supreme Court to harmonize and make sure that the courts are deciding constitutional rights the same way.
To settle the argument, you're saying, from a number of places.
Right. Now, going forward, of course, if this case or something, a case like it, does make it to the Supreme Court, then that will have a broad-based impact not only on New Jersey, but really all of the unfavorable carry laws throughout the country.
Just to jump in, because I've been getting a lot of email from NRA members and ANJRPC members saying, well, does this mean that New Jersey's carry law has been thrown out, right? And the answer to that, as Dan was implying, is no. What it means is this is the first decision, and it's lower court, federal court. It means its authority is persuasive here right now. Okay, it doesn't control anything. New Jersey law still stands, and we still are pursuing an appeals process on the New Jersey case.
Now, it actually does something very interesting. In addition to help the argument against unfavorable carry laws, the fact that this decision makes it clear that the Second Amendment applies outside the home has some very interesting implications for other aspects of New Jersey law. One of the things New Jersey law does, and it's a major problem, is that possession of firearms outside of the home in New Jersey is thoroughly regulated at every level, not just in terms of carry, but everything you do outside of your house with a firearm, transporting it, going to the range, everything is all heavily regulated by New Jersey law. The fact that this trial court in Maryland has now announced that in its view, the Second Amendment applies outside the home is a powerful tool that can be used to attack other aspects of New Jersey law dealing with transportation, directly traveling to and from, being at the range, things like that. And that's
stopping
very useful.
At the 7-Eleven on your way to the range.
Correct. It's a nice tool to have to attack those other aspects of New Jersey law.
For a defense attorney, you mean?
No, for a defense attorney or for someone who is directly challenging that law in a civil rights action like these are.
Okay, great. So now that you mentioned there were about nine or so that you know of other cases in other states. How do they differ? I mean, we have one going right here in New Jersey too, right?
That's correct. The Pizzutowski versus Philco, which used to be called Mueller versus Manza. That case was...
It gets confusing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to... you need like
I
a,
know Jeff Mueller personally, so I'm still calling it the Mueller case. So go ahead.
That case was decided unfavorably by the district judge recently, and now it's now been appealed to the Court of Appeals, and that process is ongoing. And
Could you tell our readers what the original case was about, the new people tuning in?
Well, it's a very similar type of case to the Woolard case. The plaintiffs are individuals in various situations who sought to apply for carry permits in New Jersey. As you know, New Jersey has a very strict standard for obtaining a carry permit, and you have to demonstrate justifiable need. And justifiable need is actually much worse than it sounds.
It's pretty capricious, right?
It is. It's bad enough that the state of New Jersey says to you that to exercise a fundamental constitutional right, you must prove that you are worthy or that you have some sort of need to do it. You don't demonstrate your need to go to the library and take out a book. You don't demonstrate your need to publish a newspaper. You don't demonstrate your need to come on a radio show. But somehow the state of New Jersey says you have to demonstrate need to protect yourself with a firearm and exercise your constitutional rights. But it's worse than that, because under New Jersey law, justifiable need is actually very specifically defined. You actually have to make a very specific factual showing that is specific to you, that you're in particular danger from violent crime, separate and apart from just generally being in a bad neighborhood. It's a very difficult standard to satisfy.
By the time you qualify, pretty much you're dead.
You're already dead. Yeah,
no,
the
I mean,
it's
almost real. The standard you would need to use to justify the use of lethal force, almost. And just, we should pick this up after the break, but there's all these cases that are all in a race to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. We should talk about how that's going to shake out.
You know, it's kind of sad that's what we have to, here we are, 200 years after this was decided already. redesigning the same thing.
Wake up, though. It is what it is, guys. We have to deal with it.
New Jersey usually issues carry permits posthumously.
Right, right. There you go. There you go.
It's presented to the widow or widower. We'll be back.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's urban defense institute for over 30 years, with four state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, two of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simmunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun, or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute.
And this segment's brought to you by Prism Electronics, who did my alarm service. Dean
great
is
job.
A great guy. He did a really good job.
Prism,
he did
George, yeah, you've PrismElectronics.com. He updated my system.
I know. He put camera. Why did you put cameras in your bathroom?
I have no cameras in my bathroom. I have two cameras under my deck. I put a 16-camera DVR, cloud server backup, a radio transmitter for my alarm system, six panic buttons in the house, two panic buttons that you can wear on necklaces.
Ooh.
The Pitbull
has... Can you
say
paranoia?
Well, I don't give a shit. Be prepared, baby. Be prepared. You know, look at what happened. PrismElectronics.com
is
Dean. You know, Nick Concilio from Buy Right Overhead Doors stopped by my house.
Yes.
He's been behind on the episodes. He's so busy. He's been getting so much work. One of our sponsors, guys, Garage Doors. He's been so busy. He's behind on the episodes. When he found out about your wife, he offered to come in.
He sent me an email and said he would drive down to, you know, the boonies where I live and check my garage door for free.
Which was really nice.
It was really, really very nice.
He's getting a ton of work. So Buy Right Overhead Door, PrismElectronics.com. These guys are the best. Family-owned Jersey businesses. And
every
they're kicking
single
ass
one
for
of
us.
Our sponsors.
All of our sponsors.
I mean, they are
even
the
Ron
best.
Sousa.
Even.
So listen, guys. There was a murder in Newark a couple nights ago.
Say it's not so. A murder in Newark.
You know, this is really a horrible one. I don't care when the shitbags kill shitbags on a street corner. This guy's been working 22 years in a pizzeria, 12 to 14 hours a day,
trying to support his
kids,
family.
Yep. And two shitbags came in and robbed him, and they slaughtered him. Because we know in New Jersey, he can't carry a gun to defend himself. He's not the business owner.
Unbelievable.
All right, dead with five kids.
You know,
all right?
More people have died in the name of gun safety and gun control. It's just unbelievable. And that makes me so angry. And it also makes me glad that we're fighting the fight the way we are and that we have our lawsuit going on right to carry.
I guess we should let Mayor Healey know that in Jersey City, since it's the
That's
safest.
One drink a month.
One Healy's drink a month.
I started that, huh?
That's very
sorry,
good.
Mayor. Did I tell you? Why was it?
No, you're not.
I went to lunch with Andy Pinelli a few days ago, and we went to Puccini's in Jersey City, and Andy says, "Look who's sitting over there." It was Healy's security detail. Guess who comes out of the dining room and walks within 5 feet of Gun for Hire? Jeremiah Healy with his security detail. How
Very
good
nice.
Was that?
He
I
had
sent
a
him a horse's ass statue.
Why does he need a security detail? Jersey City, since one gun a month, is the safest city on the face of the earth.
How about three guys in a security detail and a driver? Four plainclothes cops to
protect him. Of Jersey City.
You know, there's a reservoir in Parsippany that's owned by Jersey City, and it's got the mayor's name out on the lawn there. And for about 3 months, somebody vandalized the sign, just his name, I swear to you. I pass it, you know, very frequently. They just restored it.
It wasn't me.
Anthony near Parsippany, doesn't
My backyard is Parsippany. It wasn't me. I'm too fat. I'll get caught on a camera. All right.
All right, look.
So
there's eight carry cases going up to the Supreme Court, and we're in a race right now to see which one gets there first. And you know, some people ask me, well, what happens if the Supreme Court doesn't go our way on right to carry? I get that. And that is a possibility that we have to be prepared for. I don't think it's going to happen. But the answer is when the Pandora's box of Heller and McDonald opened, it guaranteed that we had to act, and we had to act quickly, because if we don't, some defense lawyer is gonna do it, and they're not going to do justice to it. So with all these cases competing to get there first, you know, in my opinion, New Jersey has one of the better cases for a couple of reasons. Number one, New Jersey is unique in that apart from just having right to carry as a matter of personal protection, a carry permit is needed in New Jersey to cleanse all possession. You know, the way New Jersey law, we've talked about, everything's banned except where it's allowed. And there are two exceptions. One is all those little hyper-technical things where it's allowed. The other is if you have a carry permit, you can pretty much bring the firearm anywhere except where it's banned. That's unusual in that a carry permit, and you're subject to prison sentence, okay, otherwise. So unlike other states, it's not just a question of, well, if you have a permit, you can carry here. It's that you can't have free exercise of the Second Amendment without the carry permit.
Which we see all the time with people coming from PA or other states who happen to have carry permits in PA who don't know Jersey law or even come here for trap shooting, and they bring their firearm with them and don't have an FID card and wind up in jail.
Right. The other thing that's unique about the Jersey case, or maybe not unique, but where we have an advantage, is our selection of the plaintiffs in the case was pretty unbelievable. Mueller, who's no longer in the case, you know, was a kidnap victim, okay?
Yep. And twice.
Right, and the perps, not all of them were rounded up, so he really is in danger. Another example is we have a civilian employee of the FBI who works in counterterrorism and can't qualify for a carry permit in the state of New Jersey. I mean, if you've ever heard of a ridiculous, unconstitutional standard, this is
it. Well, remember when the panel of judges denied the carry permits for the arson investigators? The head judge wrote, "In keeping with the restrictive nature of New Jersey's gun laws, we are denying the permit to carry." So the judges have that mindset. They want to keep within the restrictive nature of New Jersey's gun laws.
Yeah, nobody wants to go outside that.
They don't want to break it. They're all afraid. So, Dan, what are you doing for us right now? Because, you know, I just want to say something. We're very fortunate here. Can you pull that out? We're very fortunate here because we have great listeners. We have great sponsors. And our guest lineup, we're very fortunate to have access to all of these guys.
Right.
You know, from Knappen and Schmutter and Bach and Jensen. I mean, the list goes on and on. But these guys, I mean, the shooting happened and this case happened in Maryland. And I send these guys an email, and I'm like, we want to tape a show, and we want you guys on it. And they're like, what time and when? And by the way, we're taping this during a work day, you know, where they're supposed to be doing other stuff. I mean, this is what we have. We have this activism and this unity and volunteerism in the state. If we could just wake up our backwards legislators.
Schmutter's partners are writing that down, by the way.
Schmutter's, but he's probably going to bill us. Don't worry. We'll figure something out. You're not getting paid, so don't worry about it. So, go ahead, Dan, tell us some more about all these cases and how Maryland has implications, and what can our listeners do? Obviously, we hear this all the time.
Well, as far as the cases that are in the pipeline on carry, they're all at different stages. Some of them are already before courts of appeals at the intermediate level, being argued and being briefed, written arguments being submitted. Some of them are actually behind Woolard. That is, some of them are still at the trial court, the district court, the first level, waiting to be heard. And they're all in different. What's good about them is they're all in different places. The way the federal system works is that the cases filter up into different regions, and each of the regions called circuits. can have can render different decisions, and so that's the key that you want. You want these courts of appeals to decide these things different ways to create this split, this dispute that the Supreme Court has to resolve. That's really when they take a case, and on these fundamental constitutional issues.
So three circuits say yay, three circuits say nay. The Supreme Court says, oh, we have to settle this.
That's right,
and that's what we're hoping.
And even if just one circuit goes the other way, that's what happens.
So three yay and one nay,
or one yay and one nay.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a controversy.
If there's a controversy among the appeals courts in the United States, it almost guarantees that the U.S.
Maryland case really helps boost our odds of getting heard by the Supreme Court.
Well, depends what happens in the Court of Appeals that hears that. Okay, it could get reversed.
I asked Gora this, and I'm going to ask you, Dan, because you were part of a brief with JPFO for Heller or McDonald?
Both.
All right, I want to go to the Supreme Court the day it's heard. Whoever gets the passes or how it works, I need to go. I'll leave my gun at home.
Oh,
I'll leave my guilty shirt at home that I wear when I.
It's whenever gonna
I
cost get to, you. It's going to cost
a black
you,
shirt. I have a black shirt with foot-long, foot-high letters that says guilty. Every time I get picked for jury duty, I wear that the first day. I always get sent home 15 minutes into it. I don't understand why. So.
Your reputation precedes
exactly.
yourself.
Exactly. So, Dan, we stand a better chance that Scalia and his henchmen are going to hear our course, right?
I think that's right. The fact that we have this decision, the Woolard decision, definitely improves the likelihood that this is going to go to the Supreme Court. As Scott explained, the courts of appeals have to be the ones that have the varying decisions. So this one will go to the Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, and if they uphold this decision, that bodes very well, because that gives us one decision from a court of appeals that goes in favor of the right to carry. And so since we can almost certainly expect other courts to go the other way, that will be very helpful.
Great. Great, great. So what else can we do right now? In New Jersey, everybody's discussed it. We see Maryland's getting picked up. Scott, what do we do?
Well,
help me.
Let me just say, this carry case, ANJRPC, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, is a co-plaintiff in the case. Dan Schmutter is one of our legal consultants on the case. It's an expensive case. It costs money. If people want to donate, they can go on the ANJRPC website, and there's a place you can donate to our special projects fund. Second Amendment Foundation is another co-plaintiff. They're actually the lead plaintiff, or the driving force behind it. You can donate to SAF. Bottom line is just...
And that's Alan Gottlieb.
That's Alan Gottlieb's group. Bottom line is just watch, wait. We could use... additional financial support to support this and other litigation, because the litigations we've talked about on air, all of us, not the only things coming down the pike. We're going to have a few surprises coming down the road.
There's a bunch of, I'm privy to a couple of surprises.
That's right.
So I can't talk about them yet.
And there are some things that, for the attorneys listening, there are some things really that we should talk about not doing. And I think a lot of that is what we don't need is a Jacobian Myers catching on to
you
this
can't
sort of
stop
thing.
That you cannot the problem is that, and it's not a problem, but lawyers who represent, as Anthony would call them, well, I'll say dirt bags, they have an obligation to represent those dirt bags and to represent them well. And so you can't say don't raise the Second Amendment as a defense to one of those guys. Our job is to get out there first and be best, and that's what we've done, and that's what we're going to continue to do in the wake of Heller and McDonald. Basically, we're in a 10 to 20 year race to fill in the contours of the Second Amendment. Heller and McDonald sketched the outer limits of the Second Amendment, and it left a universe within those limits left to be explored. Right to carry is a huge one within that. There are lots of other issues that have to be addressed as well. And we're basically in a race to do it, and we've got to get out front of the personal defense lawyers. No offense to them. But that's what we've got to do, because we approach these cases with the seriousness and with the resources with which they should be approached.
Well, you know, another thing that I would like to add to the list of don'ts, and I want to see how you guys want to weigh in on this, is I've been noticing a lot of stuff, a lot of chatter on the blogs and a lot of stuff in the forums about open, empty holster protests.
I'm not a big fan of that.
I was talking to Joe Senti, and Senti said, you get out of your car, you've got a holster on. It was either Senti or it was one Mac. Of your other instructors, Mac. I'm going to shoot you.
He can be justified shooting someone with an empty holster because a holster is only designed to hold a gun. It has no other purpose.
Right.
So if he told you to freeze and you move your hands towards the back of your body and he can see a holster, he can assume that you're reaching for a gun.
This so it's just kinda hurts dangerous. Us, you know, guys.
I'm not a big fan of empty holsters.
You know, and we were at a meeting not too long ago, and mm-hmm. there were a bunch of people walking around with empty holsters, and I'm like, why are you giving the anti-gunners the fuel they need to say, here's another butt crack illiterate who's coming out and making a fool of themselves?
Look, you know, there's many constituencies within the Second Amendment and the outdoor movement, and not everybody lives under the conditions we do. Out west, open carry is a very natural thing. It was disconcerting to me, and I know Arizona's laws. I was in Arizona a few years ago and gassing up at a fuel station. Some guy in a beat-up pickup truck gets out. He's got a 1911 in a holster open and is rushing into the, you know, the store that's right next to the gas station. I did a double take.
You're diving under your seat.
No, not quite. But it took me a second to connect, to remember where I was,
right.
And that it wasn't, you know, nobody else was upset about it. So there are people to whom open carry is extremely important. That doesn't help our cause in the Northeast.
No.
Okay? Folks are unsympathetic. I mean, there is open carry in New Hampshire. And you may recall a few years ago, there was a guy who decided that he was going to go into Barnes & Noble, you know, with a 1911 on his hip, you know, open carry and provoke a confrontation. These people don't really help our cause because while we know the right to keep and bear arms will cover carry of some sort, most open carry is authorized by legislatures. And if a legislature can give, it can also take away.
Sure.
You know, the surest thing to do if you have an open carry law is to exercise it. You'll focus them right on it, and they will, you know, withdraw it, and they'll pull it back. So then you're looking at who's going to bring the court case and advocate that open carry is protected by the Second Amendment. That's really ultimately what that issue would be. You know, the focus now is on right to carry or concealed carry, which is a whole different animal.
Another movement I saw also was one to get everybody together and all apply for a carry permit at the same time and be declined. And I think I would like to answer that and say, if you ever want to have to check off that tiny little box on every carry permit in the United States that says, were you ever denied a carry permit in any state, be my guest. If that's a stupid thing that you want to do and put yourself out there, that's not going to change anything.
You know, I sometimes have people who say, let the bad law pass. Let that ammo ban that we just defeated, let it pass, because then it will wake people up and suddenly we will all vote and vote them out of office. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. And
We've seen the results of that. We're living under the results of that.
Look, the people sitting in this studio believe in is a deliberate, intentional, disciplined approach.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Incrementalism works two ways, folks.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay? And it's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen, and the momentum is building. So
yes, we are building momentum. We see it on all fronts. We see how many listeners. I can't handle the influx of emails. Keep them coming, though. The 30 or 40 people that send me hate mail every Monday, please keep it coming. It really amuses the shit out of me that you have nothing better to do.
We use it in our fireplaces.
Then listen to my show and send me emails telling me you hate me, okay? Nothing better than you spending an hour of your time listening to someone you can't stand. So thank you.
Thanks for listening, yes.
Keep listening. Like I said, some people have sent me threats and stuff. They're anti-gunners, Dan. What are they going to do, throw a head of broccoli at me? Seriously. Really? What are they going to do?
Broccoli hurts, by the way.
Broccoli does hurt if it hits you properly, right?
That's right. Hopefully, maybe they'll throw something lighter. Like, I don't know. Anyway, so Dan, what else are you working on that you can talk about that's not a secret? Because I know you have secrets, and I know some of them, which is good.
Well, we have the challenge to the one gun a month law, as you know.
Ay. Because we're not going to get it done legislatively. We know that because Sweeney and everybody else, they're not going to put it up for vote. Am I correct, Scott?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
They're going to have to be forced to rewrite the law.
And it's been so effective, though.
So let's talk about Dan, then. It's important, Dan, that we do it going, trying to repeal it through the courts, correct?
That's correct. And that was in the trial court, the lower court, the lower federal district court. We had an adverse ruling, and now we've appealed that to the Court of Appeals, the Federal Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit as well. So that appeal is getting going as we speak. We also have in New York, we have the case of Osterweil versus Bartlett, which is also on appeal before the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit that covers New York and Vermont and that area there. That's a very interesting case because that involves a New York law which prohibits a person from obtaining a permit to possess a handgun in their home if they're not a full-time resident of New York. Now, a lot of people who live in New York also spend half the year in Florida or somewhere else.
Connecticut, wherever they have money. Yeah.
Right. And New York law does not consider you a resident if, for example, you have a Florida driver's license or if you're registered to vote in Florida, even if you spend half the year or even more in New York. And for those people who have a home in New York, live in New York with their families for a decent amount of time in the year, are denied their Second Amendment right to possess a handgun in their home for defense of their family.
Wow.
And our view is that is entirely contrary to, very directly contrary to the ruling in D.C. versus Heller.
Now, you said another case came out around the same time as Woolard. What case was that?
That was United States versus Weaver. That's a West Virginia case. It was a challenge to the application of a federal law. In that case, the court didn't strike down any law in that case, but one reason that case is important is because it also held that the Second Amendment applies outside the home.
So we have two cases in one week?
Correct.
Wow.
That's very helpful.
It's very exciting, too. Things are moving in the right direction.
There was some great language in that case, though, that said that, courts that hold that the Second Amendment doesn't exist outside the home. It says more about the courts than about the Second Amendment.
The judge wrote that?
I think so. I think there's some great language in there.
I have to look at that.
It's very telling how these cases, most of the cases, have gone after McDonald. And Scott was alluding to this before, the judges, many of these judges are unwilling to do the work to really apply the cases correctly. They just do, they take the easy route, and they simply keep the rulings as narrow as possible.
Let me say what Dan can't. Okay,
you can tell he's dancing around.
There is a judicial conspiracy. These guys sit down and figure out and have decided among themselves, we are not going to advance Heller.
Wow.
We are going to try to stop it in its tracks, because when we see the exact same arguments popping up at the same moment in different parts of the country like popcorn kernels, that is no accident. Okay?
Right. These it's guys, part of the talking point,
these
legal
guys
talking points.
Are executing a strategy, in my opinion, that was probably hatched at handgun control. Okay, they spend millions of dollars
this is the under
on
the
lawyers
radar we were talking
and research.
About, right?
Okay,
yep.
And we see it coming up. I know Dan can't say that. He might not even think it, but I see it.
I want to add a disclaimer. Every time we spoke poorly of judges and stuff, Dan left the room.
Yes, he did.
And
yes.
Let me also say that what they are doing is they are using the excuse that a judge should define their work as narrowly as possible. If they can construe an issue narrowly, there is a judicial principle that they should. So they are using that as an excuse, in my humble opinion.
Yes, but isn't that what you learn your first week in law school?
No. Not in my law school. When I went to law school, I went out of law school believing that the courts had integrity and you could rely on the courts from the bottom all the way to the top. And unfortunately, in my Second Amendment career, and watching Second Amendment decisions, I have come to have a different view of the judiciary. I know Dan can't comment on that, but it's pretty scary when the final arbiter of constitutional rights ultimately is a creature of politics and ideology. It is a scary thing what's going on in this country right now, and that's why, not to go too off topic, the 2012 presidential election is so critical. If you value Heller and McDonald,
I don't think
you
that's off
must,
topic. Yeah.
You must
absolutely
get
right.
involved in this election, because the next president of the United States could appoint 2 to 3 justices of the United States Supreme Court. And remember, guys, we won Heller and McDonald by one vote. Okay? praying for the health of the five justices is not a strategy, okay, to bet the future of freedom on.
Right. And listen, I want you, listeners, if you are a supporter of Obama, if you supported Obama before, and you're thinking about supporting him again, and you're a gun owner, I would like for you to try to enlighten me as to how and why you're voting against your own self-interest. What is causing you to do that? I see so many people who are claim to be gun owners, who are active in shooting and in Second Amendment issues, who are still supporting Obama, who supported him before and are supporting him again. And what is it? Is it just the whole yellow dog Democrat sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Don't blame me. I voted for the other guy.
I had an issue with him, too.
Guys, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show with such short notice to discuss these important cases. I have a ton of classes coming up in my 6 locations. You should get your non-resident carry permit if you don't have it yet. We do Utah and Florida CCWs all over the state, and we deliver. Joe was here talking on March 18th, Simunition Survival Day, civilian response to an active shooter, simunitions training, force on force. This Saturday, 318, Sunday, excuse me, defensive pen class. Come and learn how to kill somebody with a pen. Okay?
Nice.
Urban Carbine 1 in Cedar Grove, Low Light, No Light 2 in Cedar Grove, Certified Executive Protection Course, 4-day class. Urban Pistol 1 and 2 in Cedar Grove. Come build your own AR. Gun for Hire's Build-A-Bear program. Very, very popular. Also, let's remember, guys, October 13th, 2012, at the Rosewood in Edison, Friends of the NRA and State Dinner combined. Also, on April 15th, we have a seminar. Be prepared. April 15th. Be prepared.
April 15th,
tax day. Come and learn how to prepare yourself. It's sponsored by Gun for Her, our female organization. And last but not least, Scott Bach, BachBio.com. If you haven't voted for him for a board of election, a board of directors, NRA, vote for him, please. Okay, we need guys like him on our side. Thank you all. Dan, and what's your name? Oh, yeah, Scott. Have a nice day. Sandy, you're a slut.
Will you look at that? You did it again. You wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this episode was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under the license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy the Slut Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, and the only two lawyers we allow in the studio without first having to hide our wallets, thanks for listening. See you next week. My home is a man.